And we are back. Black and a Half, episode number 161.
161?
Yes, it's an anagram, right?
I don't know. I will take your word
flip
at
the
it.
Numbers ago. I'm Sas Lindenstein.
I'm Samantha Rund.
And we are your hosts of Black and a Half, the longest running comedy podcast in Seattle. Probably. Yeah. we're here. Yeah. Episode number 161. Our guest today, very funny man, Harry Riley. He's based out of Spokane, but he travels around. Look, I don't need to sound like a comedy club host right now. Right. The next comic on the stage, he travels all over the coast. It's a national headline. It's always the same because you didn't actually read anything. You just got to get up there. No, Harry, very funny guy. He's been on Z Nation. That was my, that was when I was hoping to get on that before they canceled. But yeah, he got to die on there, right, Harry? They kill you?
Shot in the mouth.
Right. Ooh. In the mouth.
In the mouth.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But who knows? Maybe they'll bring you back.
Maybe you can get shot in the mouth.
Yeah, it's a zombie film. Whatever, they'll figure out something. Z Nation, you may have seen him if you came to our Real Nerds of Comedy show a couple of years ago at Emerald City Comic Con. He's been on that, yes. Or at Laughs. Had him on shows there. So yeah, he's a funny guy. I've been wanting to have him on here, and this is another one of those pandemic gets for Black and a Half. Nobody can leave their house, so we got them on here still. So got to do it soon before everyone's vaccinated. It's our last chance. Okay. Other famous people who can't leave their house yet?
Yeah, right. Are you a famous person currently at home?
David
Duchovny,
are
you looking for somebody to talk to?
Eddie Murphy.
Do
you want
to
come on before the
pandemic? Eddie Murphy.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. You know?
Yeah, so a fun episode. We got to chat about things going on. He answered the 7 questions and talked about the many hobbies that we have an interest in together. So we did that. So, thank you for listening. Thank you for your support. We appreciate everybody who's going to Apple Podcasts and leaving 5-star reviews and leaving comments because it helps us immensely. So please continue to do that. Also, you can go to patreon.com/blackandahalf and become a member of the League of Extraordinary Listeners for as little as $1 a month.
Wow.
You get a membership. It's not a card officially yet, but maybe we'll make an Instagram thing that you can slap on your profile. Who knows? You can even step it up and join the inner circle of that and become a Black and a Half inner circle member like Tara Widener, Stefan Ward, Keith Nagel. They step it up and help support this show with their monthly contribution. And you can too. Other ways you can support the show, you can go to one of the other podcasts that we each host. I myself host the You're Buying a Home with Silas Lindenstein. This hit podcast teaches people how to buy a home anywhere in the nation. The step-by-step guide, you can get that at yourbuyingahome.com or wherever you listen to your podcast. I host that, and it's brought to you by me at Boutique Brokerage in Seattle. And if you're in this area, I can help you buy a home. If you're out of this area, I can direct you to a wonderful agent somewhere in this country, preferably where you're going to buy a house. Also... brought to you by?
Yes, it's also brought to you by Beyond Technique with me, Samantha Run, and that is available where you listen to your podcast or for watching on YouTube. And that one's going to center even more on the performing arts and have a nice variety of guests on there as well. So feel free to check that out. And then if you are looking for a coach to help you with performance skills to get that your communication skills up even more and that connection to voice, body, and mind to use that for your auditions, scene study, character building, public speaking, or if you're not an actor and you just want to be more comfortable and confident in your skin and communicate, You can always reach me at beyondtechniquecoaching@gmail.com as well. Ask your questions, see if that would be a good fit.
And that's those podcasts. But this is this one.
Yes.
So I want you to open your hearts and open your ear holes and listen to episode number 161. Harry Riley and all those smells.
Listen twice.
Stand by to receive our transmission. Stand by to receive our transmission.
Harry, I met, you know, what's really funny. Like Harry's one of the, you're self-admit that you're a pretty nerdy guy, right? Harry,
mm-hmm.
Like I met you at one of the least nerdy places that I've performed. Like at, I think it was that, it was Mary's place, not the domestic violence place. But it was the, what was it? There was that place in Milton. Was it Dave's in Milton? I think that's the first time I ever saw you in person. And then after that, I discovered that you were a low key nerd. It was like, you're like, seemed really cool. Then I'm like, wait, he talks about video games a lot. And then I think I did a call for the Real Nerds of Comedy. I was like, oh, are you really that nerdy? And then since then, I've discovered you are, which I appreciate. this one. Samantha, not so much, but
I was actually just thinking about that. You've made me
have I made you more
cooler
nerdy?
And blacker than many other people have made me. So
but
I appreciate it.
I am both of those things. I feel like you're like a nerd in training right now. Like your partner's helping push you in the edge of nerdiness. And who knows? Who knows what'll happen? Happen to you, right?
Was that That's a crazy. Threat?
Yeah, probably. You know, so this is okay. Revealing behind the curtain, we're recording this like 3 weeks ago, folks. So a lot's happened.
Oh, right. Hopefully, yeah, good point.
Hopefully,
good point.
The world is still going on.
Nah, it's not.
No, that's why he's already gone to outer space. Man. He's got his exit strategy.
Yeah.
I want this beamed in outer space. So like,
I'm just going to float out here.
Do you ever wonder, like, think about like the Voyagers, you know, like the signals that go into space. What if we are what's left of mankind? Like all the other signals get lost. All they can figure out about America is this little black and a half show. Like what were humans about? Like, I don't know. They talked about being dark a lot. They're a little angry. I don't know.
Yeah.
They are going to be disappointed when they touch down though. And they dig through all the rubble. They're going to be like, Oh no. It's like learning out of, it's like learning, finding out about Christopher Columbus. You're like, oh no.
Oh no.
do you guys read, or did you ever watch AI? Did both of you watch AI, the film?
I did. Mm-hmm.
You did. Samantha, do you remember AI? It was.
Was Will Smith in that one? Or no,
nope.
I'm thinking of iRobot. AI.
Yeah. I'm trying to think who else was in
AI
it.
AI sounds like something I would have watched. Oh, wait. Was it the one where with they were all secluded at that house? And it was.
No, that's Minority Report.
No, not Minority Report. I know, sorry, I said it to you like that, but no, I'm thinking of something totally different. No, I never saw that. It was the one where like the robot was becoming human. It tricked the guy. Spoiler alert.
Oh, that's
it has an
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, right. Like some sort of different name. That well, you know, because that was really secluded. That's why when you said Minority yeah. Report, I'm like, no, there were other places you saw the this other one. You had to like, I think they took the guy on a helicopter someplace in the middle of nowhere to this giant mansion or some sort of awesome house and Ex Machina.
That, yeah.
Oh, yes, I haven't that's seen it. That.
I didn't ruin anything for okay. you, just so you know.
Okay. Look.
Yeah, I didn't see it either.
Okay, so the end of, I think it's AI, where when they get a glimpse of the future, I think it's a little, it's Haley Joel Osment.
Yep.
And like the aliens arrive, right? And then you see like that they're like going under ice to search. Like, that was the first time I thought about like, wow, what if we aliens find us, but we're all gone? And like they just find us from like we're just a archaeology site, the whole earth, and they have to figure out what we were about based off of our albums or and like what if they discover Russia right first and they're like, oh, this is all this is the whole earth. It was just like this. Which would ruin every movie we ever made, right? Because we were, they would always find the U.S. first.
Do you what think, if the only album they find is like a Marilyn Manson album or like a Judas Priest album? They'd be like, these people
this was
are
an
into
evil
stuff.
Planet. They were evil. That would be funny. Oh my gosh. Harry, one thing that's fascinated me about you is your photography.
Oh.
Like, Harry's a big photographer. I'm not talking, are you worried about the movie?
I didn't know. I don't want to risk it. You know,
what, of the movie you never even heard of?
No, I've heard of it.
I might watch this one day.
Well, exactly. I might.
Harry's a photographer.
I watch so much content.
It's like an amateur photographer. Right?
Wait, who is?
Yeah. Harry. Like an amateur photographer with like pro gear.
Mm-hmm.
So you're like the prosumer.
I'm what they call an idiot.
An idiot? Not a savant, just an idiot.
You because I've actually been I love photography. If theater hadn't gotten a hold of me. I probably would have kept trying to do that and learn. I'm always wanting to take. Do you like birds a lot, right? You like.
Yeah.
Is it all wildlife or is it mainly birds? Is that your.
Mainly, mostly wildlife, but birds are like the wildlife that stays out the longest. So I go after what I can. What I can get.
Do you go like camping to find them?
No, I get up early and stay late, stuff like that.
You're like Spokane? Is that where you are?
Yep.
Is there a lot of wildlife there?
Yeah.
That's not on meth?
No, I don't know about them.
Is there a lot of meth there? Is the city known for meth?
Yes, they are. Spokane is known for meth.
What?
Yes, wait, they started the artisan meth movement.
Oh boy, I can't tell if you're serious or kidding. It's so hard to know like about other places you haven't been.
Meth cafes. You got the.
Well, I mean that part I figured is a joke, but you know the other part.
I think there's
self churned.
There's a
churned in a bathtub.
Slow churned. You got the. These are the slow churned meth. It's lower calorie, so it's good. Mm-hmm. But it's so hot. It's so hot there in Spokane, like in the summer.
Really?
I've stopped there briefly.
But on the, isn't it hot on the west side?
No. No, oh. It gets hot. You guys get like 100 degrees.
Yeah, we tickle that every once in a while.
We will die at 100 degrees.
No,
we would. You've never seen it happen, Samantha.
Well, I've been in 100-degree weather before.
Yeah, not here.
Well, yeah, the city would have to. If we regularly got 100-degree weather, the city would have to prepare for that.
We
like
are
people
too,
would have to get air conditioning.
We have too humid of weather out here to do 100 degrees. That would
yeah,
be so awful. That would be like 120 somewhere else. You'd just be miserable.
Man, those would be some stinky armpits.
Stinky armpits.
Mm. Yeah. Oh.
That's why East Coast people are so pompous, because it's really humid out there. And so they're really stinky armpits. So they like really have to push their intellect so that you respect them. I'm just like, well, where do you go in Spokane? Cause I tend to think of like Eastern Washington as like a lot of flatness. And then Idaho. And then suddenly there's trees.
No, I mean, Spokane is so close to Idaho that, you know, it kind of leaks over. So there's a lot of forested area here. Yeah. It's when you get about an hour or two east of Spokane, that's when it gets flat and more more tumbleweeds and trees, that type of terrain.
Have you ever actually seen a tumbleweed?
Yes.
You've seen one roll across? Like a...
Yes.
That's amazing. You too, Samantha?
Yeah.
I don't know if I've ever actually seen a real... I was watching Walking Dead, the last year's season of Fear the Walking Dead, and they went into a town and a tumbleweed went by, and I was like, are there really tumbleweeds?
Yeah, that's
really
so funny.
What do they come from? I don't understand where they come from.
I watched a YouTube video on tumbleweeds.
On where they come from?
Yeah, they come from like Russia or something. Yeah, and they came over, and that's how they spread their seeds, is by tumbling around.
Yeah, okay. Wait.
Which is very effective, to just die and then spread your seeds all over the place.
What are they when they're not dead?
A little bush.
And then they die and they just start tumbling away?
Yep, they're like, oh, it's time to make some babies. And then they just die. And then they just start moving around.
Wait, so is a tumbleweed like literally that's the type of bush it is?
Yeah.
Like I would look on my app and it'll say, oh, this is a tumbleweed, but it's green right now. Well, that's crazy. I imagine that it was like, actually, I guess I always thought it was like a tornado or like a hurricane. it just picks up like a snow. It's like a snowball of weeds that something just caught each other until it eventually made a big giant ball of weeds. And then that's a tumbleweed.
That makes sense.
I didn't know it was an actual like plant. Like I could go to I'm going to go to the nursery tomorrow and ask, can I buy tumbleweed? I just want to grow some around. I just want to and release it occasionally on a like dark nights when someone's just walking down the dark street. I'll just throw a tumbleweed out to go across them. So they're like, what the? That's kind of awesome. You know, I didn't know. I mean, this is okay. This is getting to horticultural nerd stuff, but you don't garden, do you, Harry?
No.
Okay, good. We have to get married if we did. like, you know, like basil and all plants, like seeding is the last thing they do before they think they're going to die.
Oh.
Like right before a basil thinks like it's not getting enough water, or the it's starting to get a little too cold to live, it'll shoot out, and they call that bolting. And that's when it'll seed, because it's like, oh, I'm going to die. I got to get the seeds out before I die. Huh. And that's there's a lot of plants that do that. Lettuce does that.
Oh.
It's last moments of life. And usually they taste a little bitter then too. Like it gets bitter after they seed. So you got to,
I can see that.
You got to catch them before that.
It's like,
so I find that interesting. Yeah, the way to die and then seed. See, as humans, we're just so lucky that we seed while we're just still in the middle of life.
Yeah.
We're like, hey.
It's probably good that we don't start seeding as soon as we're thinking about to die.
Nursing homes would just be orgies, right?
Yeah.
I'm feeling like it's time to die, Elizabeth.
Just adds to the reasons to pray to never have to end up in a nursing home. Pinatas just spreading their seed as they roll around on the floor dying.
I love reading stories about, like, you read stories about nursing homes or like old folks homes where they're like, they have like an STD problem.
You like love it.
Yeah. It cracks me up. I think it's so hilarious because there's always like, it's like an 8-to-1 female to male ratio in those, right? So they're like, yeah, the guy's just getting around with all the different ladies. I think it's just so funny to think about like the sexual dynamics of, I was like, this wasn't on Cocoon, right? I think that's funny. Samantha, come on. You don't like to think about old people romping around? Come on.
No, I heard about that, like the gonorrhea outbreaks at the retirement centers.
I'm like,
I'm glad for them.
Yeah. What else are you going to do?
I mean, I don't wish STDs on them just because they're
old.
Yeah,
no STDs.
I just love the fact that they're like, yeah, I don't give a shit. I'm not going to wear anything. I'm just gonna, I can't hold. Well, time is of the essence. We have no time left. We got to seize the day.
Yeah, they ain't got time for condoms and contraceptives. They're just like, man, let's.
No, no. My Social Security doesn't cover that.
Ooh, that'll make a good nonprofit. Just going to nursing homes, giving out lube and condoms. That would be great. The only reason they would need condoms is for STD protection.
Well, yeah. Just STDs. It's not a big deal.
Yeah. You don't want them have, you don't want grandma to get pregnant.
Right.
That would be awkward.
Oh my gosh. pandemic? Have you found any extra nerdy things that you've been able to dive into? TV shows or anything?
I feel like everybody improved themselves or got into something during the pandemic except me.
Yeah.
I was just in suspended animation the entire time. I was just like, well, I'm going to sit here and wait for me to go back outside. As soon as the governor says I can go back outside again.
Did you finish? Like, what about finish some games that you hadn't been able to?
Here are some bird pictures.
I did go out and take some photographs. But the thing is that the spots that I usually go to were crowded because everybody was like, oh, I'm supposed to be inside. No, I'm going outside and I'm going to ruin somebody's day. So that's what it was all summer long. It was just people, you go to a spot that usually during non-pandemic times, there's nobody there. And all summer long, there was at least 30, 40 people just out wandering around like a bunch of bored zombies. They were just out there.
We were so bored. I do think so. People, like, the whole dream had been to, like, oh, if I just sit home and watch Netflix all day, man, that'd be awesome. And then it happened. And people were like, no. No, we want to camp now.
I think what it is that that little kid in you that's like, oh, somebody's telling me to do something. I don't want to do it. Because as soon as Governor Inslee was like, yeah, everybody should probably stay at home, don't go into crowds, everybody in Spokane was like, well, this is when I go into crowds and and open mouth kiss strangers and stuff.
Artisanal meth amphetamines that they were going to the crowds.
We're not closing our meth cafes, Governor.
Yeah.
Like, I wish there was like this secret like station. Like, I wish they could send out a message to all like anyone left leaning, kind of just to say, hey, so the governor's speaking tonight. Everybody ignore don't what he says tonight. Ignore him, because this is just a message to trick them, right? And then I think the governor should come on and say, you know what, to combat corona, I think everyone should go out and eat tonight. Go to your favorite restaurant. You know, maybe you have to maybe throw a party. But whatever, you need to be, you know, go contact a bunch of people. And then everyone's going to be like, screw that liberal bastard. I'm going to sit home. I'm not going to go out. No way. Like, they'll just do whatever. If he try, like, they'll just, they're like, no, no, he's trying to mess with us. So we're not, no. We're going to stay in and be safe. It's liberal guy.
See, that's all of Spokane. It's just a bunch of. Yeah, it's.
Don't you? You have a university there, don't you?
Gonzaga, yeah. Right?
Yeah, we have Gonzaga. I guess you could say we have Eastern Washington, but they're in Cheney, which is about 20 minutes away. Gonzaga's the big spot.
Like universities, like in the midst of like some, you know, giant red wasteland are always funny. You get always super liberal people like learning things in this town that hates their ideology. Like,
yeah.
And they also, I think then they also hate that the whole town is almost dependent on the economy of that university.
Yeah.
Right. Cause like, you don't want them. We can just leave. We can go to another town. And be like, oh, no, you're all our jobs. So can't. Are you from there? Are you from Spokane?
Oh, no. I'm from South Carolina.
Are you, you're not on house arrest there, right? Like, why would you stay in Spokane?
Sometimes I ask myself that. Sometimes I'm like, why didn't I?
Is it children?
Move when I had the chance.
Is it a child?
Yeah, I had a.
Yeah, that's it. It's always. That's why I'm here.
Wait, two questions. One, wait, who to ask first? Okay. how long have you been in Spokane?
20 years now.
Wow.
Yeah. I was 20. Yeah.
I was gonna go, so your daughter's 20? Is that what?
No, she's 18.
Wow. Well, and I guess a question for both of you guys is where would you go instead? Because Silas, you said that's why you're here. Where would you be then?
Oh, I would have moved to LA in a heartbeat.
Oh, really?
LA or New York? Yep, would have been gone if I didn't have a daughter. The second my wife said that she wanted a divorce, I'd have been buying my ticket. And, yeah. Because that was my path. That was what I wanted to do originally. And then I fell in love.
Right.
And I leave more to LA. Like, I might have tried to go to New York, but I don't think I would have been able to hang in New York. I just don't think.
Well, it would have been interesting to see how you would have liked it and if you would have stayed or not stayed.
Just my visiting of New York, I've been like, oh, I don't think this is for me. It's like.
Yeah, New York seems a little, I don't know. I can't really put my finger on it. It's just not my cup of tea.
It's dirty.
Oh man, we went there in March and it still smelled like pee everywhere.
Yeah.
There's snow all over the ground and it just still smelled like pee. I'm like, how can you live in a city of pee?
There's very few times of the year I think that it doesn't smell. Like, I've heard August is the worst. The subways.
Oh man. That's got to be terrible.
It's Samantha, you've been there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, I remember the first time I went as an adult, because I went there as a little kid for a weekend thing, but didn't notice things. But as an adult going there, and I remember I was there for work and I was walking to get to the pavilion, and like, it was like 8 a.m. and there's these two women in front of me dressed to the nines. Like they had been out all night or something and walking home. Like they were, I mean, they were drop dead gorgeous. I mean, from behind at least. And I mean, say I didn't see them exactly, but they're like, oh, they're dressed up. They have high heels on. It's kind of weird. Like I'm eating a donut back here. And I was like, oh, this is New York. Like they never sleep. You know, this is crazy. And then I walked into this wall of urine smell. And I'm like, this is fucking gross. What's, oh my God, this is like a beautiful sight. And then it smells awful. And then the next time I went to New York, I realized how much garbage was just like, they just put the cans on, like every night they put the bags of garbage on the street and you have to like walk around them on the sidewalk. And I'm like, I've seen so many movies that take place in New York. Not once have people mentioned like, or shown how you have to step over garbage bags all the time at night or trip or smell urine. Like, this they really romanticize New York in all of the, in all movies and stuff. And I'm like, y'all never talk about the smells.
Name of the episode, never. All about the smells.
All about the smells. Like, I mean, at least LA is like, sometimes it smells like beach, right? I don't know.
That's not too bad.
Well, I mean, it depends where you go, right? Yeah. I mean, it's more spread out in LA. If you go to certain parts of downtown LA, it's not going to be smelling all pretty like the beach.
True. You know? I don't know what it is about. Like, I don't know why I like LA so much more.
I mean, what I liked about it is I like that it spread out and I could see the mountains and stuff. Like, I don't like I don't like living in a very congested city, but I did really love it the last time I visited New York. But, you know, I wouldn't want to be broke there.
I mean
you don't really want to be broke anywhere, but certain places it's,
I would have had to move there broke, not with like, I would have had to move there broke not knowing what it's like to have money, right? Especially to pursue comedy. Like I couldn't, once you've tasted life, I don't know if you can deal with how broke you would have to be. Yeah, it just seems so miserable. And I feel like opportunities, I mean, I hadn't done comedy yet when I was divorced. I was just thinking mainly about film and TV.
Yeah.
And I think there's just, as much as there is work in New York and such, I just got like, I mean, it's just LA. It's just, that's it.
Yeah.
That's right. Studios. Unless I marry a Canadian, then I can do that. Yeah. So would have been a different Silas.
Man, it's weird how like one decision or like one action can change everything. Cause I think about it all the time. Like, what if I, because I was medically discharged from the military and I could have moved anywhere that was equal distance to where they, my hometown was.
Mm-hmm.
So that's everywhere. But I decided, I was in this situation where I wanted to be around my daughter. I didn't want to be like across the country and having to take care of her that way. I still wanted to be a part of her life. So that's the part I thought about more than opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
But like when she was like 11 or 12, she was like, man, you should have left. you could have done so. You could have been famous. I was like, well, I probably wouldn't have been famous, but I like how you think that my parenting wasn't needed. That's always good to know.
Jeez.
No.
I could have been good without you.
No. I think it's hard for them to even imagine that you weren't, what it would be like if you weren't there. I think somehow in their head, oh, you could have gone and done this stuff, but you still would have been back every night or whatever.
Yeah.
right? You just fly into LA and then you come back and, or.
Yeah. I don't think she took it, take into account, like, if I would have went somewhere to start doing what I'm doing now, I would have been, I probably would have just drowned in, you know, the just being overwhelmed by everything.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm a country boy. Like, going from a little small town to a place like LA or New York, that's crazy. Skyscrapers still trip me out, and yeah, and I've been seeing them forever, you know. So I don't think I think she just thought, oh, you'd have been rich and famous, and
yeah,
you'd have just been Lear jetting it back and forth, you know.
Have you done comedy since, like, you got out of the military, or?
Yeah, I started right before I was about to get out. So I was also thinking about that as well, because Spokane was the only place I knew for comedy at the time. So I was like, well, I'm getting booked, so I might as well stay here. I wouldn't want to start over someplace else. But I didn't think at the time, I didn't realize how, you know, you can start someplace else and it wouldn't be that hard if you are just out and working. It would just naturally kind of pick up.
Yeah, I guess I actually, until you said that, I hadn't really thought of that either.
I mean, because I feel like if you're a comedian, I mean, I can't say for an actor or something like that, but for a comedian, you know, you go to a place and you just start like hitting up open mics and stuff, and eventually, people will start talking to you, and you just get into the flow of what the city's doing.
Mm-hmm. Well, and yeah, now I guess I do know that how it's easier to like go to another town and just say, no, I'm a feature or whatever. Like, you can just say what level you're at, and people will watch your tape and go, oh, okay, that's what they are. Where,
yeah,
it's a little hard. Like they say, it's hard to headline in your hometown, or like where you started.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess you do. I guess you pretty much did. Or did you? What do you feel was harder in Spokane to become a headliner, or did you start headlining outside of it first?
No, my first headlining spot was in Spokane, but it was more of like we don't have anybody else who can talk for this long, so you get up and you do it.
Yeah.
Because when I started in Spokane, it was mainly there was about maybe five or six comics that would call themselves comics. Like,
wow.
That would come to open mics and stuff weekly and stuff like that. So it was a very small community.
Yeah.
And I mean, now there's probably about 50 comedians that would call themselves a comic in the city. But that was not the case when I first started. There was like four or five people like me starting up, going to open mics, don't know what they're doing. And then there were like three or four like old time guys who've been doing it since the 80s and stuff.
Let me tell you, Harry, this is how you do it.
Yeah. And a lot of people didn't know what the hell they were talking about. You know, they're like, oh, you just get up there and tell some street jokes. Everything will be all right. And it's like, I have a hard enough time remembering my own material. I don't want to remember some 45-year-old joke. I don't remember that too.
Do you? And was acting I know you've been in like, you've been in a couple things that were shot in Spokane, right?
Yeah. And I've been in something that was shot over in the Seattle area.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Can you say what it was?
Yeah. Three Busy Deborahs, Adult Swim show.
That's why I think I know your face.
Were you on the same episode?
I don't know.
No, because I will remember her if we were on the same episode.
Really? That's nice of you.
Yeah.
I must have just seen you then in when I was watching the season. Because I was like, I know I've seen your face. So, that makes me feel good then. Cool.
Yeah, I was in one episode. I was officer number one. And I had a line in it. It was supposed to be a Christmas episode, but they played it in March.
Wait.
So when I saw
it. Yeah, it was the first episode, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, that was the same episode.
And I was like, what? How is this your Christmas special in March?
You know what? And it came out during the pandemic.
Yeah.
And so I didn't want to post about it because I felt, because that was also too, like, at some of the height of what was going on.
Yeah.
And I felt like really bad to be like,
hey, 1,000 people died.
You know,
today,
stop looking at the news of everybody dying and look, you guys, I'm on TV. Like, I just was like, I can't post about it right now. It's just so many emotions. Yeah. That's so cool. Yeah, you guys, if you haven't seen Three Busy Deborahs yet, check it out. It's really funny, not just because we both had like, you know, little parts in it, but like it's so well done. I really enjoy the series.
Yeah, I like the they're like three rascals that are always getting into trouble.
Yeah.
And somehow they just fate kind of gets them out of it. Just how the world works just kind of gets them out of it. I like that.
You know what I realized, and I don't know if this was intentional or not, like with the backstory of how they came up with the characters or what inspired it or any of that. But when I was recently watching it, it made me think it was kind of like a spoof on Desperate Housewives.
Oh yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I could see that. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's cool.
That's funny. But you weren't in a scene together, right? I'm guessing.
No,
we didn't have a scene together, but I think we might have been there the same day.
Same episode.
Were you there that day they gave all that really good food? It was probably like really good food every day, but like they actually served lobster and steak.
I was there.
Yeah, see, I knew I saw you.
Lobster and steak?
Yeah.
Yes.
For the cast?
Yeah. I think it was one of the final days of recording.
Yeah.
And so they were having an extra awesome, freaking amazing craft services.
Like, oh, Jesus, no wonder.
But you know what? My pants were too tight. Even though I was my regular weight, I wasn't my pregnant big belly
lobster
self back then. But for whatever reason, the like measurements didn't get translated correctly because all three pairs of pants were too tight for me, and so I wore the pair that were the least tight, but for the whole day I was in so much pain because they weren't like they like, you know, you like suck in your tummy and then like get the button there, but it just digs into you all day. Yeah. It was horrible. Yeah.
Oh.
The costume wear was great. That was like the one thing where I'm like, man, this sucks. Well, how did this happen?
Pandemic has also ruined that like craft services for me. And maybe it's better because I can't keep going back, right, and eating more. But like, now like getting like boxed lunches where they're like, well, we can't have a buffet, so
I love the box lunches, though.
But then it's like, I feel limited. I'm like, I just ate what's in here.
Yeah.
That's it. That's all I get. It's like, I can't go back for more. I mean, though it's a healthy amount of food.
Well, I guess it depends if it's a box lunch that you like.
Right.
It depends. Like, I remember this one time, I know we're just talking about food so much, but I remember this one time I was on set, a different set, and And I was so excited for the lunch. We were getting Thai food, but I couldn't quite decide what to get. And like, ultimately I decided on this one meal because I liked the, that it would have a cucumber sesame salad with it. And I was so excited for that cucumber sesame salad. And what happens? They didn't freaking put the salad there. They just put some like kale or something. I'm like, this is not the same thing at all. But I didn't want to complain, so I just ate it. You know, it was lunch. What are you going to do? Be grateful for what you got.
Yeah.
Do you like kale?
It's hit and miss for me. Like sometimes in salads, I think it's really good, but sometimes I just really don't like it in salads. I think it depends on everything else that's
Harry,
in it.
Are you a kale person?
I don't even know if I've ever eaten kale because I eat stuff, but I don't know if like kale has a unique taste or anything. Cause to me, it just looks like random leaves. It just looks like a leafy substance. So I've probably eaten a ton of it, but I've never eaten something that somebody goes, "Oh, that's kale casserole." That's delicious.
Yeah. One of my favorite jokes is by Douglas Gale here in Seattle, where he says, he's like, "Well, today I just discovered I discovered arugula wasn't cheese." Like, he always thought it was
that's
cheese.
Hilarious.
And I was like, "That's so funny." I crack up at that all the time. I don't know
why. Yeah, like arugula though, you will not miss arugula. That is specific.
Okay. My neighbor gave me some kale. Because, she did it. She got a message to me that she wanted to know like about a mortgage lender because she just wanted to refinance. And so I sent her a message. I sent her the message and said, "Okay, yeah, here, call this person." And then she's like, "Thank you." And then the next day she's like, "Hey, I have some kale starts. Would you like some?" And I have this thing.
Kale starters?
Starts. Like she'd been growing
like
starts.
To garden?
Yeah. So you put them inside first and they grow up and then you take them outside, right?
Aww.
And so I have this thing with people who are potential clients in the future, right? That I don't know if they're not friends. I can't say no to them like for a little bit. Like I can't refuse something they offer because I don't want them to associate me with anything negative. So it's always a yeah. I'll help you. Yeah. And so until they're trained, it's an old trick I've learned from directing that you always say yes to your cast members three times and then they trust you and then you can do whatever. So I've practiced this in business.
Predator much?
Blame William Ball. That's what it's a psychological, like he learned it from psychology. So it's like this. So, but anyway, so now I didn't want to say no to her because I was like, I don't fucking want kale. But I was like, oh, God, I got to say yes. So, yeah, sure. So now I've got these kale starts. And I thought, like, I was going to get, like, one kale. But I've got, like, eight. Like, I have to start, like, eight different. And she's like, oh, yeah, put them, like, 18 inches apart. I was like, that's half my friggin' bed. I don't want a bunch of kale. In this fucking thing. So now I'm debating, like, how do I freaking raise this kale? If I just, like, should I just plant one and then try to pawn it off to someone else?
Yes.
Yeah. Because I needed to have it just in case she asks. I don't want to lie and say, that I can say, yeah, oh, it was great.
But it's great because she could tune into this episode and
she's
hear you
listen.
Talking
Whatever.
About this.
She's not going to listen. She doesn't know I do this. All right. But. And I'm not putting
you never
the
know
title.
Who's listening, man.
Never
Why
know.
Do you think I don't want to say anything about anything ever? Right.
But it's, yeah. So now I have all this kale and some other leafy thing. I'll do that one just to see
what's
what it is.
What's the other leafy thing?
I don't know. She said, I got kale and some Russian blah, blah, blah. I don't know.
Oh.
I was saying yes to whatever it was. But
it's a tumbleweed. That's what it is.
It's a tumbleweed. Growing tumbleweed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm going to grow a couple strange veggies now that I hadn't planned on for her. I just wanted to share that because I've been holding this in for a little bit.
Yeah, man.
my garden's sacred. I don't have a big spot. I don't have a lot of room in there. So it's a big deal.
I would have just said no.
I know you would have, but that's why I'm a good that's why I get I'm a good agent.
Actually, I probably would have said yes and given it to my mom. She's really good with planting stuff. Yeah, I mean, but she doesn't really have a garden right now, but she has like a ton of plants and, you know.
Yeah.
She used to have a big garden, but and she loves kale though. That's the other thing too.
I don't mind it. Like, well, kind of like Harry said, like you kind of have to remind me that it's kale.
Like, wow! See, like, that's amazing.
The sign
like,
that says, "Oh, it has kale with kale." Like, oh, okay, I'll have that.
What would you think it is instead, though? Because I find
there's
kale
a whole
to be very
bunch of
distinctive.
Green leafy things, and so
what do you think is the closest to kale, though?
I don't know. I never like, ate it enough to know what it is ever.
I don't like, find it to be particularly close to anything. It. Texture wise, maybe like collard greens.
What? Okay, like okay.
But I haven't really had those.
I used to have a tortoise, and he ate leafy greens, right? But I had to get really good leafy greens for him. I can't eat iceberg lettuce; it has no nutrients, right? Which I would have got. And even romaine wasn't that much. So we always bought the spring garden mix.
Yeah.
That was expensive, and I hated it. I did not like it.
Well,
it was
I don't like that one because it gets slimy so quickly.
Oh, it does, yeah. But also, it's just like, I don't know, in the mouth. I like a romaine salad, maybe.
Yeah, a little crunch to that.
I want crunch. There's no crunch to this. So he would friggin' eat it, and it was expensive. So he ate better salad than I did. But kale could have been in that, and I would have been like, I don't know. What's in this? Bunch of
I don't think so. Because, like,
about.
That's the thing is kale has a little crunch to it.
Yeah. I think it's the only reason people eat it, right? Otherwise,
no.
I like to say arugula. I mean, I do actually get it. When they say arugula is a little peppery.
Arugula? Yeah, I love arugula. It is so good.
And you get it when you hear it, but it just sounds stupid, right? It's it's lettuce. How's it going to
Oh, you mean it sounds stupid
peppery?
That you say how it tastes.
Yeah,
that is peppery.
It's peppery.
It. Okay. Yeah.
Well, it's got a little pepper to it.
It does,
Like wine has different notes, right? Well,
yep,
it's got a pepper
does.
Note to
you could taste
this,
it.
To this lettuce.
Once you can taste it, there's no denying it.
Yeah. And then what? What's the bitter one? Something
endive.
Is that bitter?
Radicchio.
Radicchio. Bitter AF.
And purple.
Yeah.
Usually, yeah.
Some of it.
Yeah.
Not all of it. We had,
I guess,
my
in the
neighbor
spring
had
mix
some.
Ones.
My neighbor had some. It got really bitter. It was really bitter. He was like, oh.
Yeah.
He's like, try this. We don't do that now, but it's not appropriate. For some reason, I thought, like, Harry and I feel like we have a lot in common, like, but you, like, get to do. I feel like we had a lot in common, but you actually went and did the things. And did them well.
Oh.
Like, I love video games, but you're like, you love them and you're good at them. I like photography. You like photography, but you're good at it. I like comedy. You're like, Harry does everything I do well.
I don't know about video games or photography.
Oh, definitely.
Or comedy. I don't know anything about anything.
Oh, no. My daughter's a fan of yours from our comedy show. She loved Samantha. She was quoting him for so long after a Real Nerds comedy show. It was great. No, in photography, you can check out his Instagram and then you'll be like, yeah. Good
at
show.
Harry Riley?
Oh, no. No. It's
what's your Instagram?
It's King Peppersnake.
King Pepper Snake?
Yeah.
Yes.
And I always
there was a story there.
It's funny because I have to like remember that's you a lot. Because I have another black friend who goes, he used to go by the name King Deliet. Oh. Like Deliet's his real name, but like King something. So at first I thought it was him following me on Instagram called King, and I was like, I don't think he I don't know, he never shares photographs over on Facebook. That's weird.
Oh, I like this.
And then eventually the it was like, oh yeah, it's Harry. It's Harry's the king.
Sorry, I just cut you off. I really like the geese.
The geese?
If you guys are looking on YouTube.
On Instagram?
I mean, yeah. Well, yeah, but if they're looking on YouTube, Harry, if they're watching this, then they can see.
That's like a postcard photo.
Yeah, this is great. Like, I like that one a lot.
Do you go in and tweak the photos at all in any Photoshop, or is that straight out? Is that raw?
I edit like 90% of the foot, even if it's just a crop just to put on Instagram. Mm-hmm. I'll at least crop it or change the color a little bit. But I don't do too much like extreme, like I'm not sharpening feathers or anything like that. That photo was by mistake. I was just walking and these geese were, they were by this pond and they flew to get away from me. And the other one, and one of them was just honking the entire time. And he thought he was going into some water, but it was just ice. So he just hits the ice. And that was those two walking away while one of them was just making a bunch of noise.
Was that like a rapid fire photos, like, or
yeah?
Okay,
I did that. Oh no, no, that was I was just because most of the time, because I'm taking photos of different stuff, I'm not. I don't check my camera before I go out, so sometimes I'll be in single shot, and sometimes I'll be in multi shot. And with that one, I just got real lucky because I was taking one shot at a time. The other ones don't look nearly that nice.
When I went to Europe, I went to Italy and England. I brought a digital camera with me, and I brought an extra laptop so that I borrowed a laptop from somebody so that every day I could come home or come back and download all the photos onto a hard drive. So I'd have clean photos. So I had like unlimited chances of photography, right? At everything. So, because this was back to me, like cards cost a little bit more. So it wasn't like now. So that's why I didn't bring like just 100 cards. I'd do that now. But, and I remember, so I was taking photos all the time, and there was one angle I got of the Colosseum that I was like, this is good. Look at this. You take 500 photos, you get one that's nice. And I put it on a stock photography site, and I made money off of it for a while.
Oh,
yeah. That's pretty
like,
cool.
It was like, because people always type in, they need like, Colosseum. Oh, there's one. Yeah, they tick that. So I collected royalties a little bit off of that photo.
That's awesome.
It was kinda neat.
That's cool. Yeah.
That had a happy twist. I was waiting for the sad part. The way it was set up, I was like, I was waiting for the wah wah wah.
No, I know. Because I had the freedom to always take photos. Like there was a bunch of photos I actually really liked on there. Some from an artistic point of view, and some just kind of. I don't know. I'm into like I like photos of. I like capturing people in casual life, like where they don't.
Yeah.
Oh, great. This is my creeper episode, right? Where I like.
Yeah. Right. They don't know that. You say yes. Like, yes.
They don't quite know I took a a photo of them just living their life, you know, but.
I love taking nature pictures. I guess, you know what? I take a lot of pictures of everything but people when we're out like adventures or whatever. And then I have to remind myself, wait, I need some of like the people who are actually here right now. I don't need another one of like how the moss is crawling up the side of the tree.
Yeah. But that's cool too.
Oh no. For sure. I love it. It's just like, I will continue to take those nature pictures, but it's like, I also am like, I need to actually take pictures of the people that are there,
like your friends,
right?
The ones you're there with, not just with the other people,
right? Yeah. Right, the people I'm there with,
because you got to get the picture of in front of everything.
That's right. Yeah.
Do you have any, Samantha? Do you have like a pose, like when the like, hey, Samantha, stand in front of the sign, Do you have like a go-to, like?
I don't think I have a go-to. I just have so much variety and so much range. Oh, whatever. It's just
Harry,
really,
do you have
like
a go-to pose?
For some reason, whenever somebody takes a photo of me, my thumb goes up. Like I'm Borat for some reason. It just always goes up.
Very nice.
Yeah.
That's funny. My wife, she does, I can't copy it, but she always has a, like, she's so embarrassed to be getting her photo taken, so she makes a face that's a little, like, overcompensating of chipper, like,
yeah, like super cutesy.
I remember, like, there's the first picture of me and Gretchen together when she had visited. We weren't dating yet, but I got a picture and I was showing it to my cousin, like, this is a girl that we're kind of, as we start dating, and he's like, oh, I like, she looks like she has a little spunk because she's like winking her eye like at the camera. And I was like, oh, she's got a lazy eye, but that's that's funny. And so it was like, that's what it was like, funny because that photo is where I found out. And she's like, no, I just have a lazy eye. I just got a, someone, she's tired. She's tired. Well, I didn't know lazy eyes work in that your eye, the eyelid. I always thought it was the eye. But sometimes,
well, probably you would think that because it says eye. They didn't say eye.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's not a lazy lid.
Right.
Yeah. Hey, Harry, before you go here, we have everybody, well, the first time they come on the show, we ask them the Black and a Half world famous 7 questions.
Okay? Oh.
So this is that part of the show. So these questions, they're not complicated. They're just the same question. But the first thing that comes to your mind, when we ask you, so there's no wrong answer.
All right.
And just, yeah, we go through them here. We'll learn a little bit about Harry Reilly. Okay. Number one, what are you most nerdy about?
Video games. That's when I was younger, was video games. I think now it's about technology in general.
Mm.
Yeah, so I can't really say photography gear or like computers. It's more like all of that stuff. That's what I spend most of my time reading about and getting all nerdy and watching press conferences and stuff like that. Yeah.
Like gadgets, or is it like,
yeah,
beyond that, yeah, like you, no, really, like, oh, there's a new type of solar panel coming out.
Oh no, it's mostly gadgets and, yeah, stuff, just, like, okay, oh, there's a new iPad come out, or oh, there's a new phone that's only in China, or mm-hmm, stuff like that. That's what I think that's what I'm the nerdiest about.
Huh. What's something that you love to eat?
Oh, that's spaghetti.
Spaghetti, okay.
Angel hair spaghetti.
Oh, I love, okay, angel hair.
I just love the texture of those noodles. Mm-hmm. I'm very much into texture.
So does that come with the sauce, or like a marinara sauce, or is it a?
I mean, when I cook it, I got meatballs and everything in it. I'm not just mainly a angel hair guy. I'm basically making spaghetti.
Okay.
But instead of those fat spaghetti noodles, I use nice, slim,
nice, slim,
sexy, okay, angel hair noodles.
Angel hair.
Yes. So,
not fat, spaghetti. Okay. What's something that you love to drink?
Oh, man. Tea. Because it used to be soda, but I got too fat. Yes, yeah, so I had to give up my career of soda drinking, man, because it used to be bad. It used to be like how alcoholics drink beer.
Yeah.
That's how I used to drink soda.
Mm-hmm.
And I just had to stop. It was getting too out of hand.
Silas understands.
No. Oh, absolutely. No, totally. That would be my number one addiction. It was the hardest thing to to give up. Is, yeah. No, I'm smiling thinking about drinking a soda right now.
Man. You know,
yeah, like I love soda.
Oh, it's so good.
Well, so what kind of tea? Hot tea, iced tea, sweet tea?
Iced tea. Mostly sweet, but I...
Because it doesn't count less as a soda. Sugar. It doesn't like count sweet. As soda.
It's no, less it sugar.
It's less sugar than soda. But
I know.
Like,
I'm just talking like I'm no. Yeah, because I'm justifying my actions here.
Oh, well,
I put even less sugar in it than normal just curious. Because...
Do you make your own sweet tea at home then? Or like... And is it black tea?
Yeah, it's black
any
tea.
Any kind of...
Yeah, I usually... Well, I've been getting this Lipton has these bottled ones that's like 70 calories.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I've been drinking. But during the summertime, I usually make my own just because it just feels like it's part of summertime to make your own tea and have it while you're sitting outside.
Yep. I like putting it like I have like a tea kettle. I let it steep in. I love the tea kettle. I love the tea set so much. But like, and then I like when it finally cools off. You know, I'll put it in like mason jars to drink out of.
Oh yeah,
and it's just so convenient. But I'm like, I need some more mason jars though.
What about
get
sun
a good stash of it going?
Do you do the sun tea?
Huh?
Sun tea?
Wait, me?
Yeah, both of you. Do you do sun tea?
I don't know what sun tea is.
Well, it's
I don't know what that is either.
You put, you take a bottle and you put it out in the summer and you put the tea bags in the bottle, like a big container, and it makes a big batch. It brews in the sun.
Oh, no, I've never done that.
Yeah, me either. I'm going to give that a try.
Yeah. I've never known what that was. I don't know if it was just black tea. I forgot it was like the science of it. I was trying to like my wife. Like, I was like, how is this? Is this actually cook? Does this count? I think it's just, your water's clean. I think it's fine. But
yeah, I mean, yeah.
It's yeah. Like that was a big in California. They always did that. I hated tea when I was a kid. Like iced tea. I was always like, I don't understand why anyone drinks this. Now that I don't have soda, like I'm like, oh yeah, iced tea is the only thing that gets me through life.
Sweet tea in the summer is just so good.
Yeah,
like it's good all the time, but in the summer it's like,
yeah,
it just touches a part of me. Yeah,
right. What kind of music do you love?
Oh man, I'll listen to anything, honestly. Like right now, I've been on a Daryl Hall and John Oates adventure.
Wow.
I've been listening to them constantly, even though my daughter is not too fond of it. But
right.
I love it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's
what I've been listening to now lately.
Is that the music? Was that your music like when you were... Like in high school?
No. Okay. No, that I was in high school. It was hip hop and R&B and a little bit of country because my oldest brother was, I don't know if he was doing this as a practical joke or if he was really into it, but he was always listening to country music and my mom would just go ballistic on him. Like, why are you listening to this? And he'll be like, I love it. When I go to work, I listen to it. When I come home, I listen to it. And nobody understood, but I understood because, music is whatever gets into your soul, whatever makes you feel good. And country music made him feel good. So I was just glad he found something to like other than beating me up. I just thought anything that keeps him occupied is good for me.
That's right.
But there's part of you that think he was like pulling a prank.
I thought so because he would be like, he would sit on a porch and he would just sing a country song. And we live,
you know, we lived in a predominantly black like neighborhood. And so people would be walking by and going, why is this black guy singing country tunes? So I thought a little bit of me was like, man, he's just like, he's just trying to annoy everybody.
A long play practical joke. That would've been
like a 5-year long poem.
That's so funny. I love that.
Yeah, but I'll listen to anything. As long as it's like, I have tried to listen to like some death metal and stuff, and it's just, it's not that I don't like it. It's just that I didn't understand what they were saying. Mm-hmm. I want to understand what they're saying in order to get the whole bit of music, because I want to listen to the lyrics and listen to the music that's accompanying it at the same time. Mm-hmm. Okay.
What do you love to create?
Oh, man. Photos. Yeah. I'm always hunting that perfect photo.
Is there a particular perfect photo that you're trying to get? Like a particular?
I see it in my mind, but the thing that I understand is that when you see a photo of like something extraordinary, that it's a lot of patience and a lot of skill and a lot of luck. And my perfect photo is like an eagle has just touched down and grabbed the food, grabbed the fish. Tail. And it it just got like 2 talons full of just kale.
It's like I'm trying to lose weight.
Yeah.
too much mercury in the fish.
Yeah, and I want it to just look at me while it's coming towards me, and I just get that perfect like in the middle of the frame, the bird and the fish. And then I will stop doing photography. I'll just sell all my stuff.
Perfect. I got the perfect shot. I'm done.
I think that's why I like photography so much, is because it's so hard to perfect it. Like, you know, there's people who've done it for 50 years, and you'll ask them, the photo that you think is perfect, and they'll show you like 1 or 2. Mm. So it's always that chase of of trying to get that perfect photo.
Yeah. Mm. What's a game you love to play?
Video game or
anything?
Oh, man. Any type of match 3 type of video games. I love those things. I just can't.
Match 3?
Bejeweled or Puzzle Quest.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
there's a Harry Potter version, too.
Oh, I think I'm have to dig into that.
Yeah, that one was just, it's just on the, like an app on the iPhone, the Harry Potter version. I mean, they might have other versions, of course, out there, but that's the one that I know about.
Yeah, you need
the only thing bad about those games is that they're free to play a lot of the time, and I just want to pay one price and just play it until I'm tired of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but they just want to nickel and dime you the whole time, and it just angers me so much. It's like I would pay you good money to just let me play this game.
Well, like, no, you have to wait 4 hours unless you play $2 right now.
I think I stopped playing because I think they had like an update to the privacy agreement or something. And I was just like, I'm not going to read all of this. It's probably important. So I just was like,
of course, Samantha reads the privacy agreements. That's exactly a Samantha move. Though,
like, I don't always read them. I try sometimes, but usually I feel like if it's a free online thing that I was doing for free, and then it sends me something saying like, agree to our new privacy terms, I'm like, ooh, let me just not use this anymore unless if I have to.
I like that. That's a good policy. Well,
you know?
Yeah.
I mean, everything's out there pretty much anyway, yeah, but just try to make it a little bit more difficult. Mm.
Okay. Last question. In 100 years, when someone reads your biography, what do you want to be remembered for?
Oh, man. As somebody who, man, that's, oh, wow. Because I could go the selfish route, or I could go the route that I feel like I actually feel about, but that's too sappy. The more selfish side, I want people to remember me as being the greatest comedian to ever exist. Like, nobody was able to tell butthole jokes as great as me. But, you know, I mean, that's probably, you know, that's probably not going to happen. But like, the sappy one is that I tried my best to help everybody around me achieve the things that they wanted to do. Even if it's not monetary or like I put in sweat and tears into the dream, that I at least cheered them on from the sidelines or something to make everybody feel like they could do the thing that they want to do. Because when I was growing up, I didn't have anybody to tell me that you could be a comic. You could actually be an actor on TV. Those were things that I was like, I'll never do that. And then when I got a chance to actually do it, I was like, man, I wish somebody would have told me. I would have been better prepared, I think. And so, like with my daughter, you know, she, whatever she gets into, we're into it together. We're like, she's like, oh, I'm singing in the choir. And I'm like, well, let's get you some singing lessons then. Let's make you the best choir singer ever. And then she's like, I'm playing volleyball now. It's like, well, let's get a volleyball and let's practice in the yard. You know, like, so that's what I would want people to remember me as, being somebody who tried to uplift as many people as possible.
I think that's great. I think that's, I don't think that's sappy.
And you know what? It's not bad if one of the ways that you uplift everyone is by telling those incredible butthole jokes. You know, that could be part of the whole thing.
Well, Harry Riley, thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
I've been looking forward to this. I've been a big fan of yours, and I was like, hopefully with all this ending, you'll get back out here. Hopefully we'll
catch hope so.
In Seattle again.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you. That was fun.
Spill some kale.
Yeah, it was.
Black man. Live long and prosper.